In that day, I will break Israel's bow. It again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said,
hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. And the gospel reading is in Luke chapter 11, and it's the first 13 verses, and is on page 1042 of the Bibles we have here in church. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I've nothing to set before him.' But the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them? This is the Gospel of the Lord. As always, 9 o'clock, one's got two passages to consider. I think Simon mentioned this last week. We get into the routine, as one of the preachers at St Paul's, of having a title given to you as part of a series at 10:30 and 6:30. But 9 o'clock, there's two passages to choose from. I always agonise over which one I will. But today I want to look at that passage we've just read. And it's a passage I've got a problem with. Somehow it seems wrong to me that one should be talking about praying on the same basis as one has got somebody here bashing on the door in the middle of the night, wanting bread and being told by the person inside, sorry, you can't have any. Luke is good on this subject. In Luke chapter 8, you may remember the story of the unjust judge, as it's known. And this was a lady, a widow, who'd been violated, and she was looking for justice. And of course, in those days, you didn't put down your case and it would be heard before Mr. Justice Coupland at 10 o'clock on the 14th. You turned up every morning and made a nuisance of yourself to try and get the judge to hear your case. This judge was one who cared neither for man nor God, we find in Luke chapter 8. And the poor widow hadn't a hope. She hadn't got elbows big enough to get to the front of the queue, nor had she got money to be able to tip the right people to get her case brought to the front. But day after day after day after day, she turned up. And finally, the judge said, "This woman's driving me mad. My life's being ruined by her. Let's hear her case." And Luke said, "That's perseverance. When we talk about prayer, that's the way we look at it." And the one we're looking at today, need for bread, bashing on the door until not just the family wakes up, but all the neighbours wake up as well. And then, says Jesus, the man's going to get up. And I think this doesn't equate with prayer as I understand it. So we're going to just unpack that a little bit as we talk through this passage this morning. I saw a television program the other day of a dear lady who was trying to get things tidied up in a housing estate in Brixton or Lambeth. And she said, it's no use writing to the council. It's no use ringing them up. You've got to get to the office and get in their ear hole. That's the only way. And it seemed to me that this is where we are. And yet that can't be right, to think that one's approach to God is to say, bash him down until in the end he gives in. That isn't prayer. So what is it? What is it we're talking about? Now, Luke is very keen on prayer. Of all the Gospels, you'll find more references to prayer in that Gospel than any other. And he's very keen on persistence. These two stories, we don't find elsewhere. We get ask and you'll receive, knock and it'll be open and so on. But Luke is very keen that we should develop that thought of perseverance. But let's go back to the beginning. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, the very beginning of that chapter. Mark chapter 6, we find Jesus talking to his disciples and saying, look, don't be like the Pharisees. When they pray, they stand on street corners and make a big fuss about it. You go off to your room, shut the door, and quietly pray to your Father. We find in Luke chapter 22, as Jesus was on Gethsemane, as usual. And so we very quickly develop a picture of Jesus as a regular prayer, and this is his role as the Son of Man. He's here as a man for 30-odd years, and he's praying to God. Now, of course, roles are reversed, and we're praying through Jesus to God. But there he was the man. He had a place to pray, and he went as usual. So before we get into the bread and the unjust judge and so on. Let's take note of that. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. He was used to going to a certain place. He was praying as usual. And the disciple said, Lord, teach us to pray. And we're used, of course, to getting this particular saying, and then out comes, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And that's the prayer. Well, yes, that is the prayer Jesus taught. But the disciple said, teach us to pray. And we haven't got time this morning to go into a great depth on this, but what is prayer? And I always see prayer as being a communication with God. Again, in Luke chapter 22, at the very end of Jesus' life, do you remember he prayed in Gethsemane and said, Father, if this can be removed from me, this death that's coming, this awful few days, then I'd love it. But your will be done. Your will be done. And whenever I think of prayer, I think of those words, your will be done. Prayer isn't us coming and battering the door down. We will come back to the bread later on. It's a matter of us communicating with God. Parents and children, many of you will understand this in a way. I can't. I don't have any children, but I'm a good observer of them. And I can see the way in which parents and children play off each other. And the communication is there so that when children ask, they quite often have had fed to them what it is they're asking. Birthday presents may well be. Parents have fed that seed of thought, and children pick that as a Christmas present. Prayer is this. It's us communicating with God. It's us understanding what God wants for us. Because if his wish is a certain thing for us, then that will happen. If we knock, the door will be opened. Of course it will. If we seek, we'll find. Because that is God's will for us. And we're too good at lashing out in terms of our wishes, when in fact, what we need to be doing is say to God, Lord, because his will be done. And if it's his will, it will happen. And constantly in this passage and elsewhere in the Bible, Acts chapter 2 is a good case. Verse 13, here in this passage, it says, God will give you the Holy Spirit. And again, that is part of what I think is the teaching here, because the Holy Spirit prompts us and prods us. It's the role of God, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to tell us God would have of us. So, Lord, teach us to pray. Isn't just a matter of learning the Lord's Prayer. It's a matter of... And then Jesus said, give us each day our daily bread. Give us each day our daily bread. What I believe we can ask for and should ask for, give us each day. Don't give us a load of bread to put in the deep freeze so that we can just whenever type stuff that was outside their tent every morning. Give us each day. Dependence on God. And how those people ever lived in the wilderness, I'll never know. I've been to the Holy Land on a number of occasions, and a lot of it is all the standing on top of a large, big mountain, Mount Nebo, I think one of them, but other places, and looking wherever you could see was barren wilderness, and it was scorching hot. And I thought, how can people live, let alone walk through this wilderness for years and years and years? They'll die. And yeah, they would die. But God gave them each day their daily bread. It's for us to go to him for our daily needs. Luke also tells us to be bold. He said, look, say, give us our bread. Lord, forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Be bold about it. This, Lord, is what we believe is your wish for us. Please give us that. Now, the story itself, the background to it. Here we've got Eastern hospitality coming into play. Somebody's coming from a distance, and it's your duty. I certainly remember very clearly one of my early Tearfund days many years ago, going to a little hospital in Nepal, and there was some missionary, and we came in on the little plane and had to come in once to scatter the cows off the runway. Then it went round and came in again and landed. Then we went into the International Arrivals Lounge, which held probably three people if you were fairly thin. And it was all wonderful. It was typical. And we found a way to the hospital and we said to somebody, where is David Hawke? Dr. David. Oh, yes, Dr. David. And led us along. And the hospital was lots of prefab huts. And it was called the Shining Hospital because the sun shone and you could see for miles around different buildings. And we got to one and the wind was sort of flapping the blind, and the chap that was with us pulled the blind, and so Dr. David, and we looked in, and there was David all mussed up in the middle of it, and he came, he said, I'll be 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, and we said, fine. And we went out and entertained the children for a time with our tape recorder, which to them was an absolute miracle, had a wonderful time. And then David came out, and we said, sorry, we're 2 hours late. So, 2 hours late? He said, you're here on the right day. That is quite something in the middle of Nepal. Now, we smile about that because we're used to our planes and our buses and our trains. We complain about them, but they tend to get us there reasonably on time. But here, this guy was in bed himself, I guess. Somebody knocks on the door and it's his pal, who he may well have been expecting, but, you know, when does he arrive? It depends how fast you walk and how good the donkey may be and so on. So here he is, and Eastern Hospitality says, come in, wash your feet and let's give you something to... Oh, can't give him something to eat. I haven't got anything. Unexpected needs, I've headed this. A friend of mine, Journey, has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. He wasn't being idle in this. He was petting him at that moment. There was a need, a very urgent need. And I can't emphasise that in Eastern terms, this was massive. It was massive. And so he goes next door to try and get the bread. I think Jesus is teaching us praying for others. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Not just me. Somebody, when I was reading this up on this passage, said we should be praying at least 10 times more for other people than we pray for ourselves. A challenge, isn't it? A friend of mine on a journey has come. I'm praying. I'm concerned about a friend. Hence, it all seems silly to me, much as I'd love it to pray for good weather when I want to only to win. But there are a few people on the other side who are praying for whoever it is to win. Selfish prayers is not what we're talking about. Praying for others. A friend of mine has come. And so this story unfolds. He hammers on the door. The guy's in bed with the family and says no. And you keep on hammering until in the end the whole neighbourhood wakes up and the guy has to get up and has to give you the bread. I think it fits in as we look at verse 13. Jesus said, look, if that's what this guy will do, just an evil man, it's a pity that word's used, the judge who had no care for man or God, but persistence, he did something. If they are prepared to do something, people like that, how much more will your Father in heaven give to those that have a need? How much more? And they're the key words. How much more? Judge, yes, he'll give, but reluctantly. The father in bed, yes, but reluctantly. Look, if they give, said Jesus, how much more will your Father in heaven give to those who need? How much more will God give? And certainly, that's my experience, and it's an experience I've heard of many, many people saying, but we do need to persevere. My last slide on this subject, Simeon was a great case in point. Do you remember he'd been told that there was going to be a saviour, a child, a bit confused, but he wasn't sure. But he waited, waited and waited and waited and waited at the temple, and then praise God. He persevered. A friend of mine prayed every day for 25 years for Yasser Arafat. Every single day. And one day, the chap we often talk about that is the rector in Baghdad, Andrew White, said to him, well, you ought to meet Yasser Arafat. Meet Yasser Arafat? Yes, let's go and meet him tomorrow. And this chap who prayed every day for 25 years was taken by Andrew White through all the barricades, and you would really come face to face with Jesus Christ. Received him and they talked for a long time. But quite often the answer to a prayer is not yet. We're looking for things that are for friends. God will give. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thanks for the stories that we have in the Bible and the relevance that they are to us today.